Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich, winners of the Brokers Ireland Investment Excellence Award each year since 2014. Now that's reassuring.
Now, the US ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, tweeted this morning, "Did the Irish fall into a vat of Guinness and propose something so stupid that it would be attributed to an act of diplomatic intoxication? It will harm Arabs as much as Israelis. Sober up, Ireland," he says. "Call Israel's foreign ministry and say you're sorry." At least 10 members of the US Congress have also shared their criticism of the bill on social media in recent hours in a concerted campaign. Eugene Kontorovich is a professor at George Mason University Scalia School of Law. He's a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal on Monday of this week with the headline, "BDS will be bad for business, bad business for Ireland," arguing that the Occupied Territories Bill will put American companies in a legal bind. And I'm delighted to say Eugene Kontorovich is with me now. Eugene, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you. Can you outline to us your argument briefly that you wrote in the Wall Street Journal opinion piece?
Yes, absolutely. So the proposed Irish legislation, the Israeli Settlements and Occupied Palestinian Territory Bill, is a partial boycott of Israel. It prohibits certain kinds of trade with Israel. And the United States has, and this is not the first time a country has prohibited trade with Israel. The Arab League famously boycotted Israel for many decades. And in response to that, the United States passed legislation, which has been on the books for almost 50 years, banning any company, any American company, from in any way participating in that boycott. Now, that means American companies in Ireland would face criminal penalties simply by being in Ireland and being subject and having to comply with the provisions of this law. And that would basically face American companies would either have to comply with the law, the Irish law, and violate U.S. federal law with potential criminal penalties, or vice versa.
So you're seeing this as a matter of clear, dry law. Is that right?
As a matter of fact, this is why the Irish government did not pursue the so-called Occupied Territories Bill back in 2018 when it was first introduced because of conflict with the U.S. anti-boycott law. Now there has been apparently political pressure for another bite at the apple, but the underlying legal reality has not changed, as American congressmen will continue to point out.
Why do you think they're pursuing it now? What's your opinion?
Obvious. So I'm not an expert in Irish politics, but obviously there's a lot of public concern about the war in Gaza. But this doesn't really relate to the war in Gaza. This actually only deals with Jerusalem and the West Bank. So it's a strange response to that. But I think there's a lot of obviously political hostility to Israel in Ireland. But now this is going to wind up being bad for Irish companies, for the Irish economy, because the Trump administration, is not really happy about American companies offshoring and taking their business to countries like Ireland to pursue tax breaks. Mm-hmm. They're looking for an excuse to bring those companies back. And that those companies might be having to violate U.S. federal law is going to be all the excuse the Trump administration needs. I would also say there have been arguments, I understand, in Ireland that this bill is kind of required by international law because of an advisory opinion of the International Court of Justice. That's baseless as a matter of international law because the advisory opinion of the International Court of Justice has no legal status. It's an advisory opinion. It's just like anybody else's advice. It does not create legal obligations for Ireland.
Well, it's not quite like anybody else's advice, is it? Because it's the first time the International Court of Justice has delivered a position on the legality of the Israeli settlements in the 57-year occupation. You're correct in saying it's not binding. It's not legally binding. But politically, it's quite weighty and quite persuasive, isn't it?
But the point is, it doesn't change the. It does not provide any kind of legal excuse that will get these American companies off the hook, mm-hmm. or will get Ireland off the hook from its potential violations of both American and European law. Now, the advisory opinion, I have to say, it's not. I didn't find it particularly compelling because, of course, it answers questions submitted to it by the United Nations General Assembly.
But the problem, problem though, is the UN's top court, the International Court of Justice, which you mentioned, and that ruling from July of last year, it doesn't just say that the Israeli settlements are illegal. And it says that emphatically. but it also says that states have an obligation to comply with that. Isn't that correct?
It does, but it's again does not. It is not a decision in the case. It's not a judgment. Israel was not party to it. It is, you know, at the time, the president of Lebanon was the current president of Lebanon was the president of the court while seeking to be president of Lebanon. It is simply one legal opinion.
It's not really just simply one legal opinion. It is the United Nations with almost 200 member states. It is their top court.
Deciding a case. Yeah,
if I may, they painstakingly went through the evidence and they came to the conclusion and the ruling that the Israeli settlements were not legal. So the question I have is, you say that this has a political element to it, the occupied territories, Bill. What is the world to do, though? What is the world to do if Israel continues?
That's a good question.
My question is this in relation to Gaza. If Israel continues to defy or ignore the White House in terms of pleas to stop killing civilians in Gaza, U.S. senators like Chuck Schumer, for example, who's called for a moderation of violence, the European Commission, member states of the European Union, world leaders right across the world, the UN, humanitarian organizations, various people, including there was a General Assembly of the United Nations, there was a resolution last month, and they demanded an immediate, unconditional and permanent ceasefire in Gaza. All of these things have been ignored by Israel, and they continue to kill civilians, innocent civilians. So what is the world to do, Eugene?
So I can tell you, most of the world does not think that the right thing to do is the course pursued by Ireland. Other countries that are deeply committed to international law, that have their own international legal experts to interpret what international law requires and what the ICJ advisory opinion means, none of them are pursuing a course like the one Ireland is pursuing, which maybe Ireland has a deeper understanding of international law than the UK, France, Germany, and the rest of the world. Or maybe an agenda is being forced upon it.
What agenda?
I can tell you, an agenda to punish Israel, even when not internationally legally required.
This is very dangerous.
This bill
in your position, Eugene,
before.
Nobody in Ireland wishes to punish Israel, as far as I can see. And I hope.
But this bill was first introduced in 2018 before the Gaza war.
Let me say
it has no relation to the Gaza war.
I have on a daily basis. I have monitored public discourse in Ireland on this, and nobody, as far as I can see, or the vast majority, 99%, don't want to punish Israel or the people of Israel. But they do have a problem with the current administration in Israel and their pursuance of conflict.
I'm not here to defend Israel. If Ireland feels that the war in Gaza is so compelling that it needs to undermine its economy, contradict European trade law, and do something no other country is doing, and it's willing to be in the front line with an economy that is so sensitive to foreign countries, I think that's obviously a choice for Ireland to make.
It doesn't seem like a choice other
countries want to make.
Israel itself is flouting international law, isn't it? And international opinion. 149 countries of the United Nations voted in favour of that General Assembly resolution that I mentioned last month, demanding an immediate, unconditional and permanent ceasefire. 12 voted against, Eugene. 12, including the US.
We know,
that
on pretty much every single issue, there is an automatic built-in majority at the United Nations. I find that very unimpressive. But in terms of the Irish law...
Why, though? Explain why it's unimpressive.
In terms of the Irish law...
Explain why that's unimpressive. When there's a vast majority, 149 in favour of a ceasefire...
I'll tell you why. Because that is not just the case about the ceasefire. That is the case for any resolution criticising Israel has always commanded an automatic majority in the General Assembly.
It's not about the killing of civilians.
Since resolutions that have nothing to do with the killing of civilians, any anti-Israel resolution, and I can tell you this bill has nothing to do with the killing of civilians.
It demanded a ceasefire, pure and simple, that resolution.
This bill has nothing to do with the killing of civilians because it was introduced in 2018. And it was in 2018, it was introduced long before any Gaza war.
And it's been changed.
And it was deemed... It's been changed, as a matter of fact, to make it, I would say, worse in certain ways.
What way?
I'll tell you in two ways, let's say. There are two major changes to the bill since 2018. In 2018, the pretense of the bill was, we're Ireland, we don't like business and occupied territories. So we're passing this bill just to apply to business and occupied territories. Now, the definition of occupied territory was gerrymandered to try to only apply to Israel, because God forbid it would apply to Western Sahara, or Northern Cyprus, or Crimea. But now, all that pretense has been thrown out the window. And apparently it's okay to do business with Northern Cyprus or Western Sahara. Ireland doesn't really care about that.
Well, Israel, the Israeli conflict in Gaza has pushed this up the agenda without doubt. When you have a former prime minister like Ehud Olmert...
But this is not a bill about Gaza. No, this is not a bill about Gaza.
If I may, it's certainly putting pressure on Gaza to end its operation in... on Israel to end its operation in Gaza. When you have a former PM of Israel, like Ehud Olmert, saying that the humanitarian, so-called humanitarian city is akin to a concentration camp...
There is no humanitarian city.
Is it not time to sit up and take notice?
There is no humanitarian city. This will not put any pressure on Israel, because in fact there is no trade of any volume with the relevant territories. It will, however, force a reaction from America. Under the definition of this bill, the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem is an occupied Palestinian territory. Someone who gets a passport in the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem and brings it to Ireland will be in violation of this bill. And I think it's commendable that the people of Ireland care so much about the conflict of Gaza. Mm-hmm. I don't see the relation between this bill and that conflict, especially as this has been around and was suggested by Francis Black, 8 years ago. I certainly don't see how this bill is going to pressure Hamas to release the hostages, but maybe that's less important. But certainly, I think the only clear effect of this bill is going to be to create incompatible legal obligations for Irish companies that will hurt the Irish consumer, that will hurt the Irish economy.
How will it hurt the Irish consumer and the Irish economy?
By making American companies pull out of Ireland because of incompatible legal obligations.
Look, thank you for your time. I do really appreciate it. Eugene Kontorovich, thank you so much.
Okay, take it.